David, we celebrate a little over three decades of democracy and, of course, 30 years of VOC, of the Voice of the Cape. We observe Freedom Month. We want to explore media freedom, ethics, and exactly what our role is as the media in society. Joining us on the line is the head of the Department of Journalism at Stellenbosch University, Professor Herman Wasserman. Professor, good morning. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Good morning.
Within the context of where we find ourselves 30 years later, the media certainly has played an important role in terms of, I guess, holding those in authority, particularly government officials, accountable. There are numerous examples of that within the last 30 years. What do you think has been our progression over the last 30 years as it relates to media freedom in South Africa?
Well, I think, firstly, we have to recognize that we now live in a democracy, and 30 years ago we didn't. And that means that the media has been recognized as an important pillar of this democracy. So it has freedom to criticize government. It has been quite a robust and a very vibrant media sphere in South Africa. And we also see more participation, I think, from all walks of life, different groups. The broader society has more freedom. I think also what brought this about is also in this last 30 years, we saw a big advance in technology. So we also saw the internet becoming much more part of our lives, people participating in online discussions, online media production, which also has negative consequences. But I think in the last 30 years, we've seen a massive strides being made to more media freedom, more media independence, and also the ability of the media to hold those in power to account, which wasn't the case under apartheid.
Yeah. Within the context of South African journalists and the ability to report on stories, are they truly free to report without fear or interference in particular? I mean, considering the context of our democracy, the strength of our constitution, etc.
Well, I think the constitution is a very important protection for journalists. That is something that we can be very thankful for. Not only for journalists, but also for the public in general and other aspects. So the Constitution is something that we can be very proud of and that we should be very grateful for. So yes, I think the journalists in our country, we have actually seen a very low level of harassments and threats to journalists if you compare that to other African countries, for instance, or even other countries around the Global South and elsewhere. There have been some incidences of media being threatened and media being harassed. We've seen also, especially women journalists, often online being harassed and targeted. We've seen what's called SLAPs, strategic lawsuits against public participation, which sought to muzzle media in some cases, where powerful business people, for instance, have been criticized, and then they use these legal ways to silence journalists. So there are those instances where media have been harassed. But I think the biggest threats to journalism have been economic sustainability, and that is something that we've heard of much more in the last, let's say, 5 to 10 years, maybe, where the internet, again, the digital disruption, we refer to as the digital disruption, mm-hmm. has made it very difficult for media institutions to remain viable and sustainable.
Yeah. The introduction of alternative media platforms, we saw podcasting, for example, play a significant role, arguably, in the election of Donald Trump in the U.S., and I guess the search for balanced views and having all voices heard, and at times international mainstream media not being able to accommodate that, and so alternative media platforms like podcasting also being able to take off quite significantly over the last maybe 5 to 10 years.
Definitely, I think we've seen the digital media broadly speaking, and that includes podcasts, that include websites, blogs, even things like WhatsApp news groups or WhatsApp discussion channels. All of these, let's call it them alternative media, but sort of not mainstream media, have been playing a huge role in political communication, but also in things like disinformation, which is increasingly a problem. So disinformation, I would say, is another big threat to journalism. It erodes the trust of people in the information that they receive. It creates conspiracy theories, creates a space where people can also retreat into echo chambers, just speak to people, like-minded people that share their opinions. So digital media, I think, has seen major advances, made it much easier for ordinary people to also participate in conversations around politics and the news. But it also has had this downside of creating places where sometimes rumors and false information can go unchecked, and where things like hate speech can also thrive.
Professor, I'm wondering what you make of the trust of the public in the media. I mean, particularly within the context of what you've just touched on, you know, the various reports of, particularly around COVID-19 and the way the media covered that particular story, and the way that story was arguably covered across the board, internationally and locally. And through that and conspiracy theories, etc., a lot of mistrust was developed in sort of traditional media. What do you make of then the overall position of where, call it traditional media stands, television, newspapers, radio, etc., and what is it that is required to stem that tide, or is it possible even to stem that tide?
Yeah, I think the decline in trust is something that we've seen worldwide. There's a decline in trust in the news media, but also a decline in trust in institutions in general, with decline in trust in things like electoral processes, government, and so on. So we should also see the decline in the trust in the media partly in that light. But yeah, I think the main challenge for media is to remain relevant to the public, and also not to only speak to a certain parts of the public, so that we can trust that the media really has our back, so to speak, as citizens. And I think that to build that trust is going to be a challenge. There's definitely all the statistics show that internationally people trust the media less and less. And also they withdraw from the media. They sometimes feel overwhelmed. There's just too much information. They don't know what to trust. Also the news is said to depress people. You know, there's a lot of bad news out there, and people feel that they don't want to tune into the news because it makes them feel depressed. So I think it's also a challenge for the media, not necessarily just to spread good, happy, sunshine journalism, but to also make people feel empowered, that they don't only hear about the bad things, but that they know what can they do to make the world a better place and to improve their lives in the face of all this bad news. So I think that also would help to make people tune in more, make people trust the media more, but also feel that they are empowered to do something about what they hear on the news. Otherwise, they tune out and they withdraw.
Yeah. I guess within the context of where we find ourselves, there's arguably a lot of work for us in the media to do, you know, in terms of redeveloping any lost trust that perhaps, you know, we may have lost over the years, but also, you know, find ways and be innovative to remain relevant within the context of the introduction of social media and call it non-traditional media. There are obviously conversations around whether or not platforms like radio and television and newspapers will stand the test of time. And I'm wondering, from your perspective, Professor, what your thoughts and views on that?
I think it is a challenge, as you say, to remain relevant. Well, firstly, technologically relevant, to be on top of things. And, you know, media institutions are experimenting with things like TikTok and with WhatsApp lines, et cetera, et cetera, to use this new technology to speak in the language also of young people, especially. I think that's another category of people that often sort of slip through the cracks. So I think it is a challenge for media to remain relevant in that regard. But I think the question of relevance goes beyond just technological means and technological savvy. It does go to the question of how do media really understand what the concerns of their publics, their audiences are, what are their fears, what are their anxieties, what are the sort of things that really bother them, and to listen more carefully also to what is happening in their communities, so that they can you know, better respond to those issues. And I think that's a way also to remain relevant. But yeah, I think it's going to be a challenge, and I think it is up to media also to try and use these new technologies, not only to have all sorts of fancy banded bells and whistles, but to use these technologies in such a way that they really connect with their publics and audiences again, to regain that trust and build that relationship.
Mm. Professor, once again, thank you so much for your time. That's Professor Herman Wasserman, the Head of Department of Journalism at the Stellenbosch University. As mentioned, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much. Have a good day. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye.